Hello and welcome to the third Manx Footy Pod of the new season. On today's podcast, I'm joined by Laxey first team manager Paul Callow and goalkeeper stroke biscuit connoisseur Andy Ball. Chaps, first of all, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
We're in a bit of a slightly different, I'm using the inverted commas, studio this week, Paul.
Not as big as the last one. But
it's more impressive. Homely.
Yeah, we've got the nice glass panel here, Man City's new tunnel of fame,
That's it, yeah. But these people are paying the pricely sum of £10 to watch today's podcast broadcast.
Chewing away.
Yes, that's it. And you've been spoiled because I've given you, Ball has got a brew, and you've got some more, and there's biscuits.
Absolutely fantastic. I mean, it was obviously the budget's been increased from last time, hasn't it?
Well, I will tell you about the budget a bit later on. I've, needless to say, I've blown already half of it on today's broadcast. but we'll talk about that a bit later. Those of you who are probably the keen listeners amongst you will have noticed there's no Dave today. He's ill. He's taken the news of John Motson's impending retirement quite badly. He sort of stumbled in this morning. He looked a bit like something out of Rent-A-Ghost, so I suggested he go home again. But he wasn't here last time either for your podcast.
No, I think he's trying to avoid me. I don't know if he said something about me beyond the back or... Yeah.
Of course, last time you were in, Paul, I think it was last October, wasn't it?
Yes, it was early on, it was last season.
Yeah, Johnny's 200th appearance, something like 200 goals.
500th appearance, I think it was. Yes. He just played for the first team against Ramsey, so I think that was his first and last game of the season, the first team.
Going out with a bang. But of course, last time you were in, you were at Combi Gaffer. You've since stepped up, taking the top job at Glen Road.
They're giving me the big chair now.
There's always a sirens for the podcast, isn't there?
There is.
That's the biscuit police coming in. Paul, what made you want to take up the top job?
I spoke to Steve Moran, who was manager last couple of seasons. At the end of the season, we had a few ideas on how to take things forward. Steve's had an open conversation with Steve and said, you know, I've got a few ideas. He said, if there's somebody, you know, young and enthusiastic wants to take it on, he was happy to pass the mantle over. So I came up with the 4-year plan of how I thought the club should go forwards and youth policy and things like that. And from there on, submitted it to our committee, and our forward thinking committee decided that I was rightly or wrongly the man for the job. So
I have seen the dossier. It's a bit of a social media legend already itself.
Well, I'm glad you've read it.
I've read it. How long did it take you?
That was about 2 months in the offing. It was all did me level 2 coaching course, and it all got into the ethos of football and how you want your team to play, and it built from there. So it was quite a good exercise.
It's a good read. I must admit, it's very similar to the York City Football Manager say we've got on at the moment. You know, we're all about bringing youth through.
Yeah,
and
I think that's the way to go in Manx football now. Certainly with the players that we've got. Teams we've been putting out the first two games and who we've had down during pre-season. A lot of the players have come through the likes of youth ranks. And I think the last couple of games, there's been like 6-7 players who've actually come up from the youth ranks, which I find, I struggle to see if any other team are putting that sort of level of players coming up the ranks. And obviously we've got Andy here, who brought in from
Stellar signing, and we'll come to that in a second. But how have you found the step up, you know, from going from Combi manager to the...
It's been easier and more difficult. Easier because you get your first pick of players. And more difficult because you get your first pick of players. I mean, we've come in with a new training regime, tried to make it all about football on one session, and we've tried to work on the fitness on another session. So we've probably got a lot more football involved in the Tuesday sessions we had at the Bowl. I've taken on a bit more of a coaching role as well. So that's it's come with time constraints, come with some difficulties, but thoroughly enjoyable.
We'll ask you again in 6 months. We're obviously only 2 games into the season. Andy, has Paul brought a fresh approach to the role? Have you noticed any big difference since last season?
I'd say so. I mean, obviously fresh ideas for one. Different way of trying to play football as well. Different formations. I know it's Manx football, but formations seem to be everything these days. Just all round, especially having John Palmer come in with the first team as well.
Yeah.
Help out.
Yeah.
Knows what he's doing, knows what he's talking about, that side of things. Especially the kids. Paul mentioned the kids. Played the other night against Colby, and the kids were just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, George and Joe, Walters in the middle there. They're just running it.
Yeah. Well,
no fear in them at all.
The success has sort of come off the back of last year's Cal Cup and Junior Cup success.
Definitely.
Really. You've brought them up. They looked last year they were ready, you know, they were on the fringes of ready to go up.
They came up for as a ready-made team, and I know I said this about the previous generation as well, but they all come together and they fit straight in. And luckily, we've been able to offer them places in the team last year, built them up with the combi, and this year going forward, we've taken 3-4 of them with the first team. There's a few that are still playing in combi but are more than capable of filling that space as and
easily,
when
yeah.
we need them to come in. And I think last year we said we had a massive disappointment at the end of the season that we didn't win the Junior Cup. I think on that day we were just bettered by a team who wanted it a little bit more than we did. But that loss then, I think that triggered something in the young lads because they went into the Cal Cup final against Old Boys as them probably underdogs, I would have said. Absolutely superb performance. Played like a team, did what they were asked, and came away with that trophy there. So we had something to build on for this season then, and I think we've started that now.
Was it a case of it was a necessity to bring the kids through because you've lost a few big name players over the summer, or was it a case that this was always the plan?
It was always in my plan to keep the lads that we had as far as we could and bring the young lads in. The plan that I put together basically was all about how we keep the young lads together, because I think that was one of the drawbacks from a couple of seasons ago where a number of the young lads decided they were going to go pastures new. Some of them it's worked out for, some of them maybe not so much. And obviously, you know, if they ever decide they want to come back, they've got that Laxey pedigree to come back in.
They've got till December 31st this season as well.
Yeah.
Well, yes. Well, you know, it's not just a one-season thing. This. We said it was a four-year plan, and maybe by bringing some of the young lads in, we may need to take that step back before we take a step forward again. But looking at the early signs in the season, look as though we may not be taking too far a step back.
I'd probably say as well on that, and I'm an incomer, aren't I, from not in Laxey. The last two or three years from being on the outside and the inside, is you've got a case of the lads aren't Laxey lads. A lot of them aren't. A lot of them come from up north.
Yeah.
A lot of them come from Douglas. Whereas the core now are all at Laxey with a couple of others, with the exception of me, Sean Gavin maybe.
Yeah.
And the rest of them are Laxey lads. So they actually understand what it means to play for Laxey rather than just coming in, playing because I came because Laxey's got great scenery.
Yeah.
But like literally what it is.
Lovely grass.
Yeah,
lovely grass.
Lovely grass, great scenery.
Sound of a tram in the background, you can't beat it, can you?
Exactly.
But let's talk about the start of the season. You got 2 wins from 2, 12 goals in 2 games. You can't have gone much better, could it, really, boys?
Well, we set out the stall start of the season. We got the brilliant 4-5-1.
Yeah.
And I had.
Nice plug.
But that's straight away. You're probably fabulously priced 90p.
Independent, that's
newspaper.
It.
When we saw the two opening fixtures, we said we'd look at those two as games that were potentially the two biggest games of the season, and obviously they turned out they probably were. But to get maximum points out of that is what exactly we wanted to do, and it's what we ended up doing. The season essentially will start again on Saturday for us with our biggest challenge going to Corinthians. Corinthians coming to us, sorry. And the games after that are Peel and St George's. So the league at the moment, whilst it looks brilliant, us sitting top of the league, and I've got the league framed on my wall at home now, ready for me retirement. I think after the next 3 games, we'll probably have a look and see where all the other teams are starting to sit. So we'll take it from there.
6-3 last Saturday against Braddon, a bit of an Aussie Ardealist result. That was it. Was there more to it than that? Was it? Or
I'll let you have a view from the back there.
Yeah.
Andy.
Oh, let's go then. Well, we were 2 down in 20 minutes. Do I explain the penalty?
If you'd like to.
All right, here we go. Right, so I got...
You haven't explained it to me yet.
No, you don't need to know. You saw it. Got a throw in off Jake Garvey. Went to control it. Looked up. Stuart Pace in my face. Went to take it round him. He's gone away from goal. Kicked him. Had nothing to do. Nothing malicious. Yeah, so we were 2 down 20 minutes, weren't we, or something like that?
2 down 20 minutes, yeah.
And then the boys turned it round, 4-2 at half time, wasn't it? Something along those lines.
Yeah.
And then we just carried on, but something just clicked.
Yeah.
And then we just started playing really good football, knocking it about, one touch, two touch, and actually in tune with each other, which helped a lot.
Yeah, you could see a lot of the stuff we worked on in training has actually come to fruition. We worked a lot on passing and movement and third man running. And one of the goals, I said it in my match report anyway, that it wouldn't have looked out of place in the new camp. If a team like St George's had been done that, I think there's a lot of the media would have been Crowing about all it from ref. Yeah, we just made.
Are we talking, if that had been on Hattie's YouTube channel, it would have had at least 30 hits.
I think we'd have broken the internet.
All of the season contender that we put on the other day.
Well, let's be, you know, I said in my, you've already alluded to it, 4-5-1 preview, it's probably going to be a season of transition at Glen Rhodes. What was your aim? You know, is it?
I wanted it to be a season of consolidation, due to one or two things outside of our control. Players, what they wanted to do. It now has probably gone back to a season of transition. I think we've had about 3 or 4 seasons of transition now, but obviously Manx football is very unpredictable about what you're going to do towards the end of the season and then how you're going to start the next season. How I saw it starting probably was a little bit different to how it has, but you deal with it. And personally now, I think I've got a group of players that play as a team. They are playing for each other. And I don't think we probably would have had that if we'd have had a bigger squad.
Right.
Because we may have had one or two who had ambitions that maybe this year we couldn't fulfil.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly with the lads we've got in, they've all bought into the philosophy of how we're playing, all bought into the way each other play and how we click. And I say we clicked on Saturday, we clicked on Wednesday night, because everybody just knows what's happening now. We're training together, we're doing all the right things. So it's pleasing to see now, a couple of weeks before the season, I was sort of tearing my hair out, but I'm really pleased with the team we've got, and pleased with the squad we've got.
Well, just talk about transfers, not necessarily the ones involved in Lexi, but if you've seen the Independent say, I put all this year's registrations and transfers, and I know sometimes it's a bit of a misguiding because there's people that don't re-sign the same club, but there was over 200. Now, I know you've talked about this on social media before, Paul. Andy, it'll be interesting to get your viewpoint because you have played for a few clubs already. But,
just the three. Yeah. Right.
But is there any loyalty in Manx football anymore? Start with you, Anne.
I think there is. I think it's not as much as it used to be, if I'm honest with you. I think you've always got a loyalty to your first club in terms of, say, for example, me at Ayr.
Yeah.
I always think I'll always go back and play at Ayr. And I think a lot of the lads I grew up with, myself, Christian Penswick, Sean Kelly, them boys will all probably end up back at Ayr at some stage, or just because that's where we grew up. But I think people do like to follow the trend and try and... They want to be the best player they can. They want to go and improve. But I think because travelling's so easy now as well,
yeah.
you can just hop in a car and go and play.
Yeah.
And what is playing? Living? I mean, I still live in Andreas, but train Douglas. So what's the difference?
Well, what do you think?
I would agree with what you've said there. There's a lot of players on the merry-go-round, and they play one season at one club, one season at another. And a lot of the players tend to follow their friends. And the days of managers speaking to players to get them to come to your club, I think, are gone. Because whilst as a manager you can explain to players how they may fit into your squad and how they may fit into your team, a lot of the lads just want to play with their friends. I'll hop back to last year's podcast with Corinthians when they said they had a group of players who are loyal to Corinthians, but they're all good mates.
Yeah.
So they all stay together.
Balance.
I mean, we've got a group of players now. That's about 3, 4, 5 core Laxey players who I don't think would ever leave Laxey because those lads are playing together and they want to be playing together.
Yeah.
But I said some of the young lads, I don't know whether... I'm not excluding our young lads here because they've been loyal and stayed with us. Some of the lads may see the gold elsewhere and think, well, I can get in. It's a quicker and easier route. There's a shortcut to that success.
Yeah.
And whilst you may get that success, and we've seen it happen with a number of players who've gone to a club in their first season, won something. I don't know if you get that same satisfaction of winning something with a club that you've been with for a while or a club that you've grown up with.
Well, harking back to another podcast last year, I think we mentioned it during about Mark Kelly and Peel. He was the perfect example. Mark probably has had numerous offers over the years to leave Peel, but he said it wouldn't mean the same.
No, it wouldn't mean as much to him. And I think John said the same thing when he won the Grand Slam. He said it felt so much better. So much better won it with Laxey because he'd grown up there and the lads around him were his mates. The lads around him had grown up and they knew how much it meant for the village. You know, we talk about when we play on a Saturday, we're not just playing for each other, we're playing for the people come down and support us week in, week out, every single week. You know, you can walk through Laxey and you'll just be chatting to people, even people you don't know by name, but they'll be chatting to you because you're a Laxey player and you represent that the village.
It sounds like there's a feel-good factor back at the club.
I would say so. I mean, as a, from players' point of view, Andy, I'm sure.
I would say so. Yeah, I think there's a lot more. Being brutally honest, there's a lot more togetherness this year.
Yeah.
I think there was a few, maybe controversial, but it might have been a few little clicks last year.
Yeah.
That for whatever reason happened, may have just been different groups of lads. But I think this year we've all just sort of come together because we realise it's not going to try and be the one big hit year and try and win something.
Yeah.
So we realise we're on a certain level.
Yeah.
Obviously, we are top of the league at the minute. Just to plug that again. How long? I mean, you don't know. You're going to every game trying to win, don't you?
Yeah.
At the end of the day. So Saturday will be no different.
Yeah. Well, it is early season. It will take a few weeks to settle down. We'll see how true the predictions were before before pre-season. Now, Andy, we've brought you in today. You know, obviously, you're a goalkeeper at top of the league at the moment, but also because you've become got a bit of a reputation as a biscuit connoisseur, and mostly because of your social media tweets. Even there was one yesterday, wasn't there?
There was.
About Bourbons.
On 15p in shop, right?
That's ridiculous.
In a year. It's inflation.
Have you always had this love for biscuits, or has it developed since you went into the workforce?
It's developed, you know. Well, because I work just opposite Strand there, Shoprite is conveniently close.
Right.
So you go up the aisle, get my lunch, next aisle, yoghurt, third aisle, biscuits are there.
Yeah.
So you just have a look, have a gander at the biscuits, really. And it just tends to be whatever goes best with a brew at the time.
What's your habit? Is it one packet a day, or are you a couple of weeks?
Well, the packet of Bourbons did last me less than 24 hours.
That's pretty impressive.
Today,
yeah.
Which I just finished one off before I got in the car to come here. Yeah. But I did have a phase of going through sweet deals as well.
Oh, I remember the sweet phase that we discussed that on social media. I feel like I'm enabling you slightly by interacting with this. But
this is the most surreal conversation I've ever been not part of.
Great, isn't it?
But Paul, you laugh, but I have actually bought biscuits for us to try today. So, and this is a new one. I don't know if you've seen this one. Was it classed as a biscuit, Andy?
Well, it's got biscuit in it, so it's a Cadbury's roundy.
Roundy, yeah.
It's not what I would associate a roundy with.
I enjoy a biscuit that comes in its own wrapper.
Special.
So there you go. Right, well, let's have one each. Right.
Let's go.
So this one is it comes helpfully with the best before on the back.
In date.
In date, yeah, they are in date.
Is that in case they're separated from the packet?
It must be, yeah. Although most of these things, that's a chunk. It's big, isn't it?
But like a wafer.
Oh, I like that.
Mm.
I was expecting a Cadbury's finger, but like a round one, but it's not. It's wafer.
Yeah. I think you'd only have one or two though.
No.
You'd be a bit sick after that.
There's no way you're smashing the packet.
Right, so we've got some more to try a bit later on, just to keep the other companies happy. I bought some Fox's Golden Crunch Creams, which I've had some this morning, and they're very much like a bourbon with a custard cream.
A custard cream.
Yeah.
See, we have the ginger nut version in our office.
And?
A bit too much. I don't think you can improve on just a ginger nut. Adding a layer of cream in there is not helping it.
And I went all out, and I got a McVitie's Digestive Classic Caramel. Because there's about four different things. Is that too much?
No, that's a 9.5 out of 10, the classic caramel.
That was my next question. What's your top five?
The top five?
Or have you got a top three? I'll
probably go for a three, to be honest, because five's just too many, isn't it?
In one sitting.
Yeah. Third, I would say, is probably, I'd say a custard cream.
Right.
It's like a summer biscuit.
Right.
For me. It's a weird one, but you look at the packet and they're like packets, aren't they? So like a summer biscuit.
I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, because
I try and get rid of this roundy.
We had this conversation yesterday where I said the bourbon was the poor man's custard cream.
Yeah.
And what was your answer?
The bourbon goes better with a brew.
You see, this is we've got questions about brew and biscuits to come a bit later on. Oh, I've got that clag, you know that chocolate clag. Hang on, let me just throw that.
Yeah.
So we got that three. What was two?
Two. Probably say it's a toss-up between a bourbon and an original digestive.
Ooh, yeah, I like original digestive with a glass of milk.
Are we talking McVitie's or own brand?
No, we're talking McVitie's.
Okay.
That was my next question. You have to have a bit of certain snobbish about biscuit. You can't just... Because I nearly bought some
co-op
big rolls, but I thought that would be left out of the park there.
Not with the big man coming in.
Not with
they wouldn't get anywhere near him.
So, number one... Are you going to go for the...
I would go classic caramel, I think.
Well, make sure you take a couple for the drive back to work.
Don't worry.
So that there we have it, the definitive list of biscuits. It's Friday, so if you're looking for something to take into the office later on, we recommend the classic caramel digestives. Although I have to say, those Cadbury's roundies, they're good.
They could grow.
They could possibly be a grower. I'll tweet a picture of them later.
So could you have Karen eaten?
Hey, there's something wrong with calorie replenishment, is there?
Because he's carb loading for the match at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah.
Right, we've had some Twitter questions as always. Michael Corlett, Peel women's team manager, Michael United legend. He asked a question for Andy. Which biscuit makes the best Dunkers?
Bourbon?
Bourbon,
yeah.
Not a Hobnob?
Hobnob. It's a bit left field, isn't it? No, bourbon. Definitely bourbon.
Right, there you go, Michael. Make sure you get you some bourbons. He also asked, who was your inspiration to become a goalkeeper?
I started off as a goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. I don't actually know why, if I'm honest with you. Mm-hmm. I was under 11s down the park at Air United. Mm-hmm. And someone said, well, where do you want to play? I said, I've just got goals. And I just quite like diving around and getting dirty and all that sort of stuff.
I'm hoping to see you start doing it this season.
As long as you do me washing, and yeah, I just went from there. Really, I've tried getting out of it a few times.
Well, there was a reference to a prolific spell as a combination stroke forward.
When I was 19, I went to Kurt Michael for a couple of pre-season games. Played up front for the Combi and scored a couple of goals.
Right.
I do like a bit of five-a-side.
But we have got a lot. We've got two really good videos of some finishes during pre-season.
Oh, yeah.
Andy had his GoPro. Other cameras are available.
Yeah.
Down at a couple of our training sessions, and he scored some worldies. Yeah. So we know, you know, he has got a life after goals.
There was a third man running a left-footed dink over Tom Moffat.
Right, okay.
Which was caressed into the corner, and it was a Letitia-esque volley, wasn't it, Danny? On the pitch.
That's very impressive. So is this because you know how the goalkeeper's going to react, so you can place it to the opposite?
No, you just got to back yourself, haven't you? You can't be any worse than the lads missing already.
So it's a nice selection dilemma to have, though. You know, and is it? But although it does worry me, as you already alluded to, that you tried to be a sweeper keeper on Saturday and it resulted with a penalty.
Yeah, I also tried that on Wednesday, didn't I?
You did, yeah.
And then horsed it.
Yeah.
Up there.
Luckily, we.
But it stayed out.
Players round.
Clean sheet. Take that.
Clean sheet. Michael also asked, did his junior training help him succeed at senior level? I think the hashtag was then Beef Academy.
Yeah. I died a little bit out of him, but it wasn't much. I didn't really have much goalkeeper coaching, to be honest with you, until I got to about, 17?
Right.
Paul O'Brien, I would say, in the under-18s. And that was really the first consistent coaching I had. Apart from that, you just sit there and watch YouTube videos, don't you, and try and copy it and recreate
Some about goalkeepers.
Yeah. Some about goalkeepers.
More Shill of a less check.
Yeah, Schmeichel-esque.
This question for both of you from the Shire himself, Callum Morris, he tweeted in. Where does the best Guinness in Laxey, he's asking for a friend.
Make it clear, I follow Callum on Twitter, and he is not asking for it.
I don't drink Guinness. I've only had one sip of it when I was in Ireland once, and I don't really like it. But I will say, it's probably the Laxey Clubhouse, if we do it.
We do it out of a can. I drink Guinness quite regularly. Mm-hmm. Another calorie replenishment. Three-course meal job. I think it's out of a can at the clubhouse, so it's not brilliant.
Mm. But you're very much relying on the standard of the widget.
Very, very much so. I'd probably go to Queen's.
Queen's?
It's quite cold and refreshing in the Queen's.
Do you like
Is that the Guinness? Or they left the door open?
I don't know if they still do it. You know, I partake in occasional Guinness, and the extra cold was too cold for me.
Yeah, always cold. And when they put extra cold on the glass, it puts you off.
Yeah.
Say it's a Guinness glass.
Yeah. What we're learning today is Andy likes things quite simple in their original form.
And calorific.
Black and white, no need for anything else.
Tristan for Paul. Tristan Ream, of course, former podcast favourite. For Paul, what are Jonathan Brazley's first team chances? Pippa Kinnish, 30, touting him as Combi captain.
I bumped into Johnny a couple of weeks ago, who said, if you ever need me, I'll be there. And
isn't that Son?
More than likely. Dean will know. So, will he be first in chances? Well, he'd have to turn up for training.
Right.
I've not seen him at training. I'm sure that if Dean will give you a call, Johnny, I'm sure you'll be in there with the combi whenever you fancy it.
There you go.
You know, it's quite difficult to get in there.
There's a bit of selection headaches all around at the moment.
There
isn't
is
it?
At the moment.
The Laxey official Twitter account. How is the Justice for Johnny campaign going? And that, sorry, there was a hashtag there for you kids that are following us on social media. And the 4 is a number rather than a word. Justice for Johnny. Now, you're going to have to give me a bit of a background on this.
Well, it all started at the end of last season where we were in our Junior Cup run. And John... My brother John, Laxey legend, came off the bench after coming on for he was injured a couple of weeks, came on for about 2 minutes, scored a goal and went off injured again. A bit of an Ali Dia moment where I had to take off, not because he was playing badly, but because he was injured, so I had to replace a substitute with a substitute.
Yeah.
So with that injury, he was out for the run into the final. And then I got a phone call the day after the semi-final victory over Douglas Hall High School All Boys to say, oh, My leg's a bit better now. So obviously I had a dilemma then. Do I put the Laxey legend, John Callow, into the squad? And
for purely sentimental reasons.
Well, so I had the thing and I had to weigh up the pros and cons. And I selected the squad that we'd gone through the whole tournament with.
You were in the hotel, weren't you, the night before?
The night before, yeah. Tearing my hair out.
Lip balm.
And I had to make the phone call to let him know that he wasn't going to be included in the squad, at which point I got a phone call from my sister, who said I was out of order and that she was starting a Justice for Johnny campaign, which seemed to sweep the... Laxey anyway.
I think he is still bitter, isn't he?
I haven't seen a banner at Quarterbridge with it written on an old bedsheet, so it hasn't really taken off. No.
I did have a lot of WhatsApp messages with just random members of my family with Justice for Johnny on a piece of paper holding up.
Came out of the dinner as well, didn't it?
It came out of the 40 dinner as well.
Yeah. And are you allowed back in the family home?
I've not been invited around for Sunday dinner as often as the others, but I have been sort of bet back into the fold. And he did play the first game of this season for the first team, so I think hopefully all is forgiven.
But isn't he injured?
He's now injured now with the same injury.
He went off
with
the same calf injury. Yeah. He's just getting on a bit.
Justice for Johnny, we'll look forward to the GoFundMe campaign and accompanying T-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, Matty Wilkinson, one of your young charges, has tweeted for a bowler. Who do you realistically think will finish higher, Middlesbrough or Leeds? And obviously, people who don't know, you're a big Leeds fan.
Yeah, I certainly am. I have this regular thing with Matty.
Right.
Obviously he supports Borough. Why a kid of his age would support Borough?
Hang on, I know at least 4 people now on LMN that support Middlesbrough.
At what age, though?
Well,
because they haven't done anything for 130
James
years.
James Barrett won. Yeah,
he's the same age as you.
Yeah. So there is a local supporters branch, and they meet in the Victoria Tavern. Yeah. Now the fact that is
probably
the smallest club in Britain, Douglas, probably doesn't bode well. But didn't they got to the cup final? Didn't they? They've got to 2 cup finals and got relegated in the same season. That's when they got Di Matteo'd.
I don't know if he was born then.
Though. See, neither do I. That's what gets
me. Is his
it
family
must be a family
from
thing? Because
I assume it must be. I think it's dad's.
You know, I was a bit bitter, really. Because Gary Monk left Leeds to go to Borough and then just dropped 50 million quid on a load of strikers. And needless to say, Leeds are still above them now. Leeds are on a feel-good factor. So as far as I'm concerned, we are going to finish higher without a parachute payment.
As a complete neutral, I think you're probably correct, because Borough still have Rudy Gattest, who is possibly one of the worst strikers in the Championship, who is out now for a few weeks.
He is.
Leeds
bid for him. And I think Twitter went viral, to be honest.
Well, there you go.
Say no, don't.
Yeah. First, Leeds United are going to finish higher than Middlesbrough in the Championship table this year. Now, Asian Rashid has been on, the king of social media. I can confirm the rumours are true. He is going to do a podcast.
Is he?
This is in the next few
weeks. Well, I can't wait for that.
I can't wait. He has been. He's confirmed that he's willing to appear for his usual fee.
Very distinctive voice.
Yeah, I've spoken to his agent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all sorted. That will be happening soon. That will be. Stay tuned for that exclusive Manx Footy Pod podcast.
I do the seat stuff.
He had a fairly sensible question to kick off with. How do you think How do you think Laxey this season will deal with losing some big players? Which I think we've already covered to a certain extent.
Yeah, we have. I'll just add to the fact that I did get a message from one of our previous players to say, please only say nice things, and then said, actually, don't mention me at all. To which I replied, who is this? For anybody who, you know who you are, you're the slightly camp floppy haired kid.
It plays it back for Corinthians.
And constantly contacts me to tell me his theories on Game of Thrones.
And he says, Andrew Jerry Ball, which I thought was quite funny, were you tempted with a move to other clubs this summer?
That's a charged question, isn't it, really?
He has given me a club that you said were training.
Yes, I did go to this club as a scouting mission.
Oh, okay. Agent Andy?
Some cousin of Rashid.
Yeah.
I did go as a scouting mission, just to go and see other players and see what they're doing.
Yeah.
As of such. Very good session, actually. Good feel factor down there. But yeah, no, apart from that, I didn't really, I'm honest with you.
Yeah, there
that
you
seems
go.
Seems to be the place to be at the minute.
We'll draw a line under that one. So as I say, Agent Rashid will be appearing on the podcast at some point in the near future. I'm thinking possibly Christmas special. You know, maybe a two-parter. Of course, we'll have to conduct the interview over Skype, because I don't think he'll ever leave Ramsey, does he?
No
passport,
so.
I don't think.
No.
Yeah. He's probably find out where he lives.
He lives in. He seems to always be hanging around Splinters and such like. So
checking the team sheet.
We'll look forward to that one. Before we look at Saturday's fixture with the boys, I caught up with Paul Jones after Saturday's Old Firm victory over Peel. So let's have a listen to that now. Right, Paul, 3-2 win over your longest and oldest rivals. Not a bad way to start the season, is it?
Yeah, we'd take that at the start of the day, to be fair. We didn't play very well at all. I thought Peel were excellent first half especially. And we rode a bit of a storm and scored on a bit of a breakaway, which gave us a bit of confidence and finished the first half kind of a lot better than we started it. But yeah, they gave us a real tough test today. We were miles away from really where we wanted to be, but the fact that we've managed to get the win is very, very pleasing.
And I suppose, where has it set us up for the season now? You know, you were sort of a bit guarded with your pre-season predictions, you know, but it's top four, it's got to be at least, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, we've set our own targets and we keep them in-house, really. You know, we know where we would like to be. We know where we could be if the players play to their potential. And it's been a bit of a journey over the last couple of years to try and help them understand that they're good enough to do what we think they can do. We hope that this season, we hope that this season is a bit of a culmination of the hard work for the last couple of years, and we've brought a couple of players in that will add depth to the squad. So I don't know, if we can aim for the Railway Cup places first half of the season and then we'll see what happens, but Meps hasn't been kind to us with the fixtures as usual. So we've got Geordie's Wednesday, Old Boys Saturday, St John's the following Saturday, so we're kind of looking at that and going, we'll take stock of where we are at the end of those four games, really.
Well, you've just said you've brought some players in to add a bit of depth to the squad, but we've got to talk about Josh Kelly's last minute return. You know, the prodigal son is back in Croy Lowy. I sort of come down, saw him just sat on the bench casually in his kit, and I thought, is he playing for Peel? No, and then he turns left into the home changing. That's a fantastic signing, surely.
Yeah, it lifts the club, really, when you've got someone like that who comes in who without saying, putting too much pressure on him, he does guarantee a number of goals a season, and that's maybe something that we miss. We get into some great areas of the pitch, but maybe sometimes we could be a little bit more clinical. And I mean, whether it's Josh himself scoring the goals or him putting pressure on other people to up their game, then it's good for all of us, really. So yeah, we're happy with him. We have Josh Thomas, Adam Kinley, you know, the other lads that have come in, Craig Murphy. They'll all make us better. Not even if they're not playing, but by training and working hard, they'll make the whole group better. So that's what we want.
Well, that's great. Congratulations, and I'll let you go and celebrate.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Right, welcome back, chaps. We're joined today by Laxey legends. Okay, was it too early to call you legends? I don't know.
Never too early to call me a legend.
Paul Callow and Andy Bull. Of those of you who have inexplicably just joining in, you've missed the biscuit review, so I'd rewind if I was you. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's football fixtures now, starting off in the Candlelight Premier League. Of course, there's no place where we should start at Glen Road while we're both of you here. Big game, Crittenden's coming to town, as it were.
It's
good gauge of your early season progress.
It will be. I said maybe we'll set up slightly different to how we have done first two games, but certainly we've got a game plan. We're not scared of anybody coming to us or going away anywhere and getting points. As Andy said earlier on, we're looking to win every game. The realism in me says, I know we're not going to win every game, but if we don't, we'll be there or thereabouts.
And have we touched, well, you haven't technically mentioned him, but Tom Smith will be returning. Will he be in for a bit of a fierce reception?
Well, Lexi's quite a friendly place, but not to those that have scorned us.
Does sound a bit games of
obviously we'll have a handshake before the game, and then as soon as the whistle goes, anything goes, I think, within the rules and laws of the game, obviously. The Corinthians team, they seem to have a decent sort of squad mentality, and atmosphere there seems to be good. They've got obviously Ben Qualtro in there doing some coaching for them, obviously knows what he's doing. Danny Max in there, seems a fresh face at the helm, like myself. And their pre-season with winning the Charity Shield bodes well for the fact that other teams now can compete with St George's. Saturday we'll see what happens.
They are very good going forward, I have to say. Sean Doyle is obviously the focal point of that attack, but Steve Whitley, Danny Simpson.
I think Sean Doyle is going to Dubai.
Is he?
I saw a tweet
so
this morning.
There goes the 8-foot beanpole out of our defence.
We've factored that in into the game plan.
So there you go, off to see his brother, I presume. Is a big boost, but I'm sure there'll be other options for them to come in.
I'm sure they've got 18 or 19, haven't they?
I mean, to be honest, when I'm looking at our team, I don't overly look at what the opposition are going to do, because in Manx football, you don't know which team's going to be put out 1 week for the next. No. I only know what we've got, I know how we can play, and I know what our capabilities are, which, you know, we're a good team, we're a good football team. It's can we be a good defensive team? Can we counter? Can we do the right things at the right time? It's all about decision making in football, and hopefully we're in a position to make good decisions and win the game.
Could be a busy afternoon for you, Andy.
Yeah, but those are games you want to play in, isn't it, really? Yeah. To be honest with you, I'm not going to beat around the bush. Yeah. You want to play, try and keep clean sheeting.
Let's see what happens. Yeah. Well, plan A was for me to come down to watch that game, but with Dave on his sick bed, there might have to be a rejiggle of the lineup for the game, but we'll wait and see. I might be coming to enjoy the most scenic ground?
Scenic, I reckon it's very scenic. Or if you're at the top end at Peel, when Peel get the ground back, which I think we are next week.
Next Saturday, correct.
We're back there, the top end at Peel over the golf course, but Laxey for sceneries.
I always think St John's was quite scenic with
the
Llewellyn in the background. And then, of course, the media centre.
Yeah.
There you go. We digress. Right, so the big game on Saturday, St Mary's and Peel. Peel into the bowl. St Mary's take a bit of a hiding on Saturday at the hands of Corinthians, so could do with bouncing back, really.
Yeah, we saw their opening day game, the result
against Colby.
Seemed to be quite an emphatic win. Obviously, we played Colby on Wednesday. Mary's, I don't know what their team, I've got now, I haven't seen what the team consists of this season. I know they've changed management now, Brian Carney,
Jim Cooper.
I think
Jordan's
moved over there now as well.
He scored in the week,
To be honest, they're always a quite physical team, and you know, on the day they can battle out with the best of them. Peel, quite a few additions from us this year. I would probably say I would shade it to Peel.
I think Peel were unlucky in the Old Firm game match last week. I think Paul Jones, as you will have obviously had in the interview, alluded to that. They got a win on the week against Douglas Athletic, and this is the sort of games, though, that they don't really get maximum points. I suppose, well, this is a question: if they don't get maximum points out of this, are they already slipped behind in the titles chase? Is it that cutthroat at the top?
I think when you're right at the top, especially when you look at St George, I mean, last year was a prime example, wasn't it? St George's kept winning by the odd margin, even though they were missing players. everyone else was beating each other.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic from our point of view, but from St George's point of view, they were just going off into the distance. But Peel, yeah, we were on the pitch adjacent to Peel on Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. When I was having the occasional look, obviously concentrating on my own game, they seemed to be playing pretty well, if I'm honest with you.
I think they're still sort of finding their way up top a bit. Lee has come back and has now gone up top. Maybe a slight change from his usual right wing berth. They've obviously played Sean in midfield on Saturday, which is anyway he's capable of playing there, but perhaps he's an option to go further forward. So
there's definitely goals in that team.
Yeah.
And if they can sort of click, I think any team that faces them on that day will struggle.
Talking to your opponents on Wednesday, Colby, they face an early season 9-pointer, I'm going to describe it, as they're away at Douglas Royal, who are yet to get off the mark and really start needing to, really.
Colby, I'll be honest, I was a little bit disappointed with Colby. I think they might be in this second season syndrome of they came up last year, they did what they had to do to stay up, and now maybe a couple of players have left and gone elsewhere. Yeah. They had a young lad up front.
Jordan Primrose?
No, it wasn't him. Mm. It might have been Dan, maybe, someone. Mm. Right. And he looked quite sharp. He looked really good. I don't know whether it was just a Wednesday night or something like that, and they just didn't want to be there. But
Colby finished, I think it was 14 points clear of the bottom two last year, which is a tremendous achievement considering the squad size and the expectations and all that. But Royal will be disappointed with their first team performance, I'd say. To lose 4-1 at home to Ramsey, who were potentially one of their rivals for the bottom two, and then to lose again to Braddon in the week, again another rival, they need to pick some points up this week.
Yeah, I think with the last two games, they've been games where they need to win them. They're going to probably be the teams, no disrespect to them, they're going to be the teams in and around there that they need to be picking up points from.
Yeah.
So this weekend's game is probably their biggest game of the season. I know I've used that term a couple of times now, but I think when you're talking about Manx football now, for certain teams, the big games, they're not going to be the St George's, they're not going to be the Peels, they're going to be the games that they need to win against the ones around them. So, Douglas Royal, Chris Feeney's in charge of them now.
Yeah.
Knows a lot about football. He's an Everton fan, so he must do. Colby, from Wednesday night, I said I don't know if that's the team they're usually going to be playing with, but we certainly, because we played well, it could be we played really well. But from last season, they've got a great setup down there. Lads seem to be good lads down there. If they can sort of just start getting a couple of points on the board, it sort of builds the momentum around the club and gets them up and running.
Ange, from obviously you've played for a couple of teams that struggled in the Premier League, what point do you start panicking? How long can a run go before you think, actually, we're in the mire here, we're going to kind of turn this around?
Yeah, I think when I was at Youthy, our first points, I could be wrong with this, was Saturday after Black Eyed Friday against Moran.
Wow.
And it was 3 points, and so that's what, 10, 11, 12 games? Yeah. I think the idea is you try and keep it to a minimum in the big games, keep your goal difference down, and then do what you can.
Yeah.
If you've got no one to score goals, you're going to struggle, I think, and that's half the battle. I think goal difference is big, but you need to score goals.
Well, I think you're right, and the stat that I keep bringing up, but the fact that there's only been 11 nil-nils in the last 10 seasons, 10 shocking, years, is...
What does that tell you?
One clean sheet on Saturday, just gone, and that was obviously what Corinthians you beat. What's Douglas Athletic?
1-0.
Defending, and it seems to be a bit of a foreign art.
Yeah.
I mean, for us to get our first clean sheet on Wednesday was a big coup, really.
Yeah.
I think we've only had, what, 4 or 5 in the last 12 months?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, there you go.
Something to work on, anyway.
Ramsey Braddon, another game at the foot of the table. Ramsey, you start the season well. I thought they would struggle this year, but again, a team with young players that seem to be performing at the moment.
I think from looking at the previous years, they have had a lot of young lads playing for them, and maybe this year is the year that those young lads become the men of the team and they step up to the plate. I thought it was fantastic to see they got their first points on the board against Douglas Royal last week.
Indication, sorry Paul, but if they got 14 points in total last season, if they get a win on Saturday against Braddon, that'll take them to 6, so nearly half already in two games.
I think getting those early points on the board is a good thing. I say we all goes on momentum football. You can be a mediocre team. If you get them wins, you can make that run go just on pure adrenaline, really.
And Will Smith will have been happy to get some points on the board for Brandon in the week. That was a massive game, that, to get a win over Douglas Royal. As you say, confidence is a massive thing. They'll go into this trying to get at least a point off Ramsey, won't they?
I would suspect that's the minimum they would be looking for out of this game. I was impressed with them last week.
They started off really, really well, didn't they? Straight out of the hatches, just being promoted, give it your lot. And then they kind of petered off a little bit towards the end. I think someone said on the sideline, oh, Alexi, you're fitter than us. So maybe that's, I think it's an indication, that's a step up. I mean, they walked up to second division last year. And I think that just shows a step up.
And a point you made earlier, though, Adam, is they're missing Andy Glover. You know, he scored 53 goals in the league alone last season.
Huge goals.
Without goals, most teams are just going to score. The whole point of football is obviously scoring goals. He's going to be a massive miss for them. It's if they can replace him with one of the young lads, maybe coming through.
Well, Connor's been there and done it before. And he's scored. He's played Premier League football. And Pacey the Weller is another good player.
For St. Mary's a couple of years ago,
wasn't he? So the responsibility is going to be on them to get the goals, isn't it? So that's going to be one that could go either way. Douglas Athletic host the reigning champion St. George's at Springfield Road. This is, it's got Geordies written all over it. They seemingly. They went 2-0 down or 1-0 down against
Russian.
It was 1-0. Josh Thomas put them rushing ahead, but they came back and won 6-2.
I think you look at St George's now and you struggle to see past them as a massive entity in Manx football of who's going to be there or thereabouts come the end of the season. Douglas Athletic got a good good loss is not really a good loss if you lose, but against Corinthians, good, I thought they can take a lot of heart out of that.
Missed the penalty as well, didn't they,
it could have been, they could have got a point out of that first game. It'll be a case of keeping it tight against St George's. I know they've got a narrow pitch.
But interestingly, I don't know if you saw in 4-5-1, their away record was better than their home record last year. Everyone made a point about that pitch, but it didn't really.
I always replicate that Douglas Athletic pitch to that air pitch played on 4 or 5 years ago. Maybe 6 or 7 years ago now, the year we got relegated for there. And that pitch was no wider than this table. And I think it makes a difference because the ball's just come straight over. Because it's that narrow, everything's just on you rather than trying to play wide. Especially when you've got Obasi's probably not playing, but got like Joey Morland there who thrive on the width, don't they?
And he had a good game on Wednesday by all accounts. Geordies. The only slight thing you could say, they've conceded 4 goals in the first 2 games, which is very un-St. George's like, isn't it? I think they only conceded 14 or 15 in the whole of last term.
Yeah, I mean, obviously their players now are ageing, as we all are. I don't know if they're bringing many of the young lads through. I know, I think Lewis Bradson and
Joel Ibanez has played as well, I think.
He has, so. If they're blooding a couple of them youngsters in there, that can only be a good thing for the club. But I don't know, as the years go on and people lose a turn of pace and stuff, potentially that's where other clubs start looking to knock on the door there, and maybe Douglas Athletic will be looking to go on that.
I think they played each other 4 times last year. Douglas Athletic conceded 23. So if you're a betting man, you'd put your 50p on St George's. But as you say, if they keep it tight, Brian will have the boys fired up, won't they? They're always combative sides.
I mean, what you would say is, if I've got my things right here, St John's were 2 up last week, weren't they?
Yeah.
And then Russian were 1 up, on things. Yeah. So they're not starting fast, St John's.
No.
So, I mean, it gives them a chance. At least you've got something to hold on to then if you do get in front.
I suppose the dilemma for Douglas Athletic is, though, do they go for it from kickoff?
Yeah.
Or do they just sit up tight?
If Connor's playing, which he probably will, we can't doubt.
I think he might have had an injury. Yeah, the week
I think he played on Wednesday.
Right.
I mean, if you've got him there, at least you've got him on the counter for a bit of pace, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly. Right, before we look at head to Division 2, the other game between Russian and Old Boys has been postponed because of the funeral of former Old Boys chairman, John Quirk. So everyone here would like to pass on the condolences to Quirk Boys.
Absolutely,
John obviously was chairman, I think, of Onkin and Old Boys, so a big part of Manx football in that particular Eastern enclave. In JCK Division 2, there's a big match in the south, Maloo versus Castletown, two of the early season former teams. Maloo have come from nowhere, they're free subs, seemingly alluring Hartlepool Rose to take on Castletown, who probably are my tip for the title. So this is going to be an early season cracker.
I scour through social media quite a lot, if I'm honest with you. I do, in non-work hours.
Yeah.
And I was surprised by a few of them. I saw someone, I think he might play for Paulie, I don't know, is it?
Flanagan? Yeah, yeah.
Darren. I saw him put something on Twitter, on Facebook, along the lines of, I'd rather stay and try and win something at Paul Rose.
Mm.
And then 2 weeks later, there's rumours of him going to Maloo.
Yeah.
So I don't quite understand that. I was surprised. And I saw James Brown had gone. It was in the course of gyms.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully he manages a full season. Good luck to him.
Yeah.
Before he gets injured.
Yeah.
He normally does. And then I also heard that Dean Kinley told me he was going to Castletown last year. Mm. Obviously the free subs have kept him because he must owe too much. But yeah, they seem to be good, Maloo.
They've got a good squad now.
Yeah, with the going back to the free subs, it's good to see that obviously the money that they have is going back into the club, because obviously last year they could have gone under.
Well, you didn't have a combi staff last year.
So it's good to see obviously that they're doing something towards that. Whether that's a sustainable structure going forward, I don't know. But I said, good luck to them, obviously, with that. Castletown, sort of sleeping giant at Manx football.
Yeah, they're always aimed at Castletown. They seem to be another young team, actually. They've got a group of young players that have brought through. Almost pressed the reset button a couple of seasons ago, and it seems to be paying off now.
At some point, a lot of clubs need to do that, where they have to essentially cut the losses and say, we need to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, this is what we are now. We can't live on a past glory.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a little similar to what we've had to do, is to say we aren't a Grand Slam winning team.
Mm.
You know, we can't just live off our previous glories. We've got to sort of build a new legacy. And I think that's what they're doing down there at Castletown. They've just had the new refurbishments at the stadium, which I believe are fantastic now. Looking forward to going down and seeing it at some point. On the pitch, we said it started well and could be the game of the day.
Yeah, definitely the game of the day. Hattie's going to be there tweeting, photographing, videoing. The man is a multimedia wizard. He will be there.
They've not got a coach trip afterwards, have they?
Who knows? He probably will.
He'll manage to get himself on by the half the times in the same night, won't he?
I'm sure it'll be a feisty affair. The easy are between these two. Castellano picked up a few Russian players over the summer, and I think they will add a bit of quality to that team, and that could be what takes them up in the end. But this would be an early season gauge of where these two are going to sort of finish later on in the year. Another one of your former clubs, Andy, Youthy, welcome on into school Rigori. Youthy could be another one of the second term tiers for prize packages this year.
They drew with Air the other night.
3-3, yeah.
Accounts, yeah. I've speaking to a few of the Air lads. Speaking to a few of the Air lads, he said they played really, really well. Quite unlucky in some ways not to win. Going to Youthy, they seem to have a very good squad this year. Whether they can all stick together and work hard together, get training and put the yards in is a different matter. But if they do, they've got the quality there, to be honest.
We talked about confidence and momentum. If they have a good start, will that keep them together, make them want to train harder, and maybe push them into that top,
especially
two,
in the second division?
Yeah,
because if you drop down, you tend to automatically think you're going to be towards the top end. Last year they weren't, obviously, for whatever reasons, but I think, once you start winning games, you find that your numbers at training, you've always got 20, 22, 23, 24 players there. So I think if they can get themselves going and get a good run of form, by all means, they can put some.
And conversely, if they don't, do you feel that it'll just fade away and then they'll be a...
Well, they've got John Lund from St George's, haven't they?
Harry Weatherall.
So, Harry's there. So both of them been to St George's recently.
Declan's gone back as well.
So they're all First Division players with a good ethos in theory. So if them three are training and putting the effort in, that hopefully that should filter down onto them lads.
I think I saw on social media they thought it was points dropped on Wednesday, which probably shows you what they're aiming for this year. Because they had a torrid year last year, but they have dropped down, and there will be a within that top six mix, you'd suggest.
I think it's good to see that when a team like, because obviously, as you say, didn't have the best of seasons last year, but they've obviously got a few players there now that want to build the club back up. And I think once you've got them sort of core players who are going to do that, it sort of attracts other people to come back in who may have been, not enjoying it previously.
Onken, who the opposition on Saturday were arguably one of the surprise packages of the last year. It's up to them. We've touched about second season syndrome. They need to keep their performances from last year, because they got into the Gold Cup, if my memory correct.
Yeah, they did.
So they need to be there or thereabouts again this year, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, they've got the new pitch on the way soon, haven't they? Obviously, still playing at the Nivison. They seem to have a good setup there, because obviously the first team did quite well last season. The Combi was doing quite well as well.
Yeah.
And when we played in the Junior Cup, they were a decent team. And they've got the youth set up down there quite well. It's another case of, can they build momentum? I've not seen an awful lot of them first team wise, but
I don't know much about Onken, if I'm honest with you. But like you say, they had a good season last year. I think the new pitch, as and when that's ready, I don't know, is there a club house going up there as well, possibly?
That might actually attract
players.
So I think we're going to say a home win for this? Or
I'd say so, yeah.
You see March on?
I can't,
yeah. Right, your other one of your old clubs who we've just mentioned, they are away at Douglasson District. This will be 3 points that Ayr will be targeting, you would suggest. Although Douglasson District are potential banana skins at the best of time, aren't they?
Douglasson District, I was on the recent coaching course
coach
with their manager. Coaching course with Richard Delaney, who is a top guy there.
First team manager.
He's gone in there, and I think what he's telling me, he said he's gone in there and sort of retaught football there. So they've actually got game plans going into games. I always like to keep an eye out for those lads, because they seem to have a decent sort of have a laugh down there, enjoy playing. And I know Paul Gavin's just come from there, and he was telling me what a decent setup it is there. So look at them, they've obviously potentially could get something out of the game. I think Ayr may be a little bit strong for them.
Yeah, I mean, I was training down with Douglasson District on a Wednesday last year with Goswell Senior, just doing a bit of goalkeeping and stuff like that, and they regularly had 30 plus.
Wow.
Every single week at Benahig.
That's amazing. Yeah.
All weathers.
Yeah.
They were there, and they just wanted to play football, just run around. They didn't see their whole, we have to win. They just seemed to go down and enjoy it, which seemed to be a very good mentality.
But you won't be many clubs that get more than that. No.
No.
No. Nowhere near.
That's
so many of them.
Well, it'd be, again, another one hard to predict, especially with the early season form as it is. We'll go for a draw, a coupon booster. We'll go for a draw on that one, I would suggest. Jim's Paul Rose. Jim's season is still yet to really get going. They take on a Paul Rose side who seem to be at their unpredictable best.
Didn't we see a tweet from Tony Sewell?
Oh, did you
extend the emergency loan system, asking for a striker and a goal scorer midfielder?
It did, I mean, Jim's are another team. Obviously, used to be one of the top football super giants.
Former Grand Slam winners.
I don't know if they're struggling for players now. I assume that from Tony's
team. Another team that goes in peaks and troughs, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I think a couple of their lads.
Quite like, if you look at the spine of previous seasons, Barry Harding, Mark Connor, Mark, both of them have gone, and I think Nick Bowden is still playing, but he's, I think, got another kid on the way.
Yes,
so the commitments.
Jez Lovett's now moved
to you guys, so they've
James
lost.
Brown's gone tomorrow.
Yes, that's four or five first team players.
It's your core there.
Yeah. Again, it's probably a season where transition is the word is possibly the what we'll call this podcast, but it's a season where they sort of maybe just have to be realistic. And
I think so, and I think there's a number of young lads who've gone there because they want to just play football.
Yeah.
And to be fair, if I was Tony, I'd just say bring the lads, let them play.
Yeah.
Let them enjoy it.
Yeah.
All right, we know, you know, losing's not enjoyable for a lot of people, but we go out there and play football on a Saturday, and that's what most people want to do. At the end of the game, they'll go and have a fizzy drink or a pint in their front lawn afterwards. And I'm sure they'll just enjoy the season for what it is.
Now, it's Paulie pulled off a late coup in the transfer market. Steve Glover signed for them. He scored four in their 5-0 win on Wednesday. He could potentially fire them into the top four, couldn't he? I think last time he was in Division 2, he scored 62 goals. So
yeah, I mean, he should do as well.
Yeah.
He's good enough to
Former Ireland striker.
Yeah, he's good enough to be scoring goals in that division comfortably. I mean, must just be a Glover thing to score goals in the second division, is it? But,
yeah. That's the thing. Where, you know, would he want to then challenge himself at another club in the Premier League?
Well, I think he was at Mary's last year, wasn't he? And he's been around a bit before that as well.
But if he's taken his experience there, then you know he can. Maybe
and there's a lot of kids at Paul Rose as well.
They've got a few kids. They have lost a few, as we've already said, to Malou. So that could be the boost they need. And Paul Rose always seemed to the ingredients seem to be there, but they never seem to be able to pull it together.
Yeah,
I remember they once famously played Laxey in a FA Cup final when a Division 2 team in about 2006, I think it was in Grand Slam year.
They did, I'm trying to think.
I think I read something on that today, actually. 5-0 or something like that.
John Max got that.
Don't do the ego.
That's what I'm saying. They've always traditionally looked like they could do some damage higher up the.
Oh, definitely. I said they seem to have that sort of physical pack mentality where they will all come together and play as a team.
Help your mate out.
And that's what they've got going for them. I would put them down for a win on Saturday, I think.
Away win.
I would as well.
Yeah. Union Mills, Foxdale. Foxdale started well. Jay Chatwood seems to be banging the goals in for fun already. In my tip,
my big mate Jay.
Yeah, for the silver boot. Mills have had a tough pre-season. They've lost quite a lot of players. I thought they'd struggle this year, but I think they've only narrowly lost both their first two games against two good teams. So they could again propel. We saw it seemed this is really going to be a bun fight in Division 2 this season, but in this top six.
I think so, because there's a lot of teams that will be there and thereabouts. Mm. And yeah, maybe Mills should be. Was it last season they got relegated? Because we played them first team last, and Cromby played them last year. They've got a decent set of lads up there. And they always have been traditionally a team that on their day will
And you know, what's the lie being a goalkeeper up there? Because if you put a goal kick up, there's a good chance it's going to come back past you, isn't it?
If you've got the wind with you, you can get some distance on it. But you've got it if you're playing outside of October to
even
end of March. Maybe I remember you saying once hailstone in April, whatever. But yeah, you've got to layer up, to be honest.
So Foxdale, I think we're tipping for the win, or I am. But it's going to be another tough game for them.
Yeah, haven't you seen what was their transfer activity like this?
Foxdale had pretty settled. They brought in Niall Quayle from Ram. He scored on Wednesday. Opened his account for the club. They've managed to keep most of the squad. Of course, their big loss is Aaron Castain. He's gone back to Peel. He scored 32 goals. Jay was actually top scorer last year with 33. So.
Go on, lad.
So he
to miss 32 goals in a season will be quite difficult to replace unless they've got some star that come.
But as I say, Jay's still there. He scored 33. It's a bit.
Well, again, the core's there, isn't it? They've got Stu Fales there,
Kev Pullman. They've
got plenty of lads there that are willing to put the effort in and still committed. So plenty of goals in them anyway.
And another question, I suppose, if you've been in Division 2, how long do you give it before you get disillusioned and think we're never going up? Because Foxdale had a good chance last year. If they don't do it this year, will they lose that core we've just talked about?
I think, if I'm being honest, the second division is better than the first division.
Right.
And an opinion, and I've mentioned this to a few people, but I think having the Gold Cup at the end of the season, which is the equivalent to the Railway Cup, encourages teams to carry on playing to the end of the year.
Yeah.
I find if you're a mid-table team, which I've been in for the last two, three, whatever years, if you don't get in the Railway Cup, everyone gets disillusioned and they're not bothered about football till after Christmas. So to me, if the Railway Cup, I know it's probably never going to get moved to tradition, but if it got moved to the end of the season, I think that would make the whole First Division far more competitive.
You say that, but the Hussey Cup's been moved. We thought that was going to be nailed on antique roadshow spoiler for the rest of the time, but now it's Saturday afternoon. So.
Yeah, I don't know if that had anything to do with last season's Junior Cup and World Cup that we had, because we obviously had
the same team out for
both games, and because the first team were playing on the Sunday, it then meant the lads were quite jaded. But I don't know, maybe it needs a shake up, moving a couple of the cups around. I totally would be on board with what you're saying.
The year I was at Ayr and we were tipped to win the league, and I think we lost 3 out of the first 4 or something, and then we won the Woods Cup, and then we sneaked into the Gold Cup on the very last game, so I think we beat Foxdale. And we went and won the Gold Cup. And it was like, the season was still going for you, whereas the games just peter out, I think, in the First Division. Yeah, so many dead rubbers you find.
Well, Well, especially after sort of if Jordy's still the title in February, yeah. and you know he's going down,
and you knocked out the FA Cup first week of January, you're playing every other week, aren't
you? And we talked about, I think we had the old boys lads in, and I can't remember someone else not long into the new year, and they both said you should see attendance figures at training drop straight off.
And that's the thing, keeping people motivated's quite difficult if you're in a team that's not doing well. But as soon as you get to you can't do anything in the season. That's when you really you've got a few lads that are really keen and some of them that just.
That's where I think that it differs now. And I was when I was speaking to Ben Coulter the other week, and he was saying that you reckon the gap between the top and the bottom now potentially is going to get bigger because some of the lads have left the middle teams to go up to the higher teams, and then the bottom teams are sort of left still in the mire. So I think if you're playing for a relegation team, there's something to play for the whole year, isn't it?
Right, so that was the last game in Division 2 this weekend is Governors Athletic take on Moran. Moran, you'd favour for this. Governors Athletic, Tom Chamberlain, the new man in charge there, former Onken player, and I think maybe Combi manager, I'm not sure about that. But yeah, so Moran, you'd possibly favour. They've got some good players in that squad.
Yeah, no, Moran, Moran impressed me last season.
Pre-season,
yeah. They've got a decent sort of setup there, and it's just a case of building on it. I know for years they had a lot of success with sort of older players, and I don't know if they had those young players coming through. But speaking to our new goalkeeping coach, Sean Jackson, who's down there, and he's been impressed with the way the setup is down there. So that can only be a good thing, really.
Definitely, yeah. I think if you can get Stewie Morris playing every single game,
He's one of the best strikers in that league, isn't he?
He's probably, first division strike. So if you can get him playing every game,
you'll
score. I think he's playing goals against us. Hospital Cup quarter final.
Wow.
When we scored 3 in the last 2 minutes last season. But so, I mean,
he's playing well for him.
yeah.
Right, so we're going to go for a Moran away win in that one. Governors Athletic obviously play at Bemahague.
Yeah.
We've talked about pitches that have their own unique conditions. Is the word I'm looking for. That Bemahague, you guys train there. It's a bouncy pitch, isn't it?
Yeah, we trained there last year, and it's obviously akin to it's akin to the bowl, obviously, with it being a 4G pitch. I'm not a massive fan of 4G pitches,
and it's not very sheltered up there, right?
Soft on the hips. I think I remember you coming down to watch Brad and youth game, and it was horizontal, blinking.
It is a bit raging.
Hailstones, wasn't it?
Raging in a cage type thing, with the barriers off.
I think I've used the reference before. It does remind me of the Nike advert with Eric Cantona on the ship.
Team Scorpion.
Team Scorpion. Right, it would be remiss of me not to mention that the Masters and Women's League seasons begin this weekend. Lexi, of course, got a team in the Women's League again this year.
Yes, I don't know if they're still under the banner of Northern United or...
I think they've gone so laxy, if my performance are correct.
Glad to hear that.
I'm delighted to say Peel manager Michael Corlett has kindly given us his thoughts ahead of the latter, and that will be available to read online tomorrow. So a bit of pre-match reading for you tomorrow. He's given us predictions. I think he's tipped Laxey for 4th or 5th.
Well, I'll have to give him his £5 then.
Send him a text later.
Yeah. Of course, you can listen to all of the Manx 40 pods, including last season's back catalogue, online at audioboom.com/channel/Manx football. You two are avid listeners, aren't you?
Oh, definitely.
I do. It's a good sultry drive home. I told one of her colleagues I was coming in, and I said, it'll get you to sleep tonight.
Of course, we're also, do you guys listen on Audioboom? We're on iTunes and TuneIn now.
Well, I download
SoundCloud
it and I listen to it.
SoundCloud, I know Elias, Andy, you're going to get 3 hours free.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, no. So,
and he spent the budget on
me biscuits.
I like to download it and then but listen to it on Audioboom.
That's great, thanks very much. Finally, you can keep your eyes glued to Twitter for updates from Saturday's matches at Manx40blog, just to confuse you. And all that's left for me to do is thank you guys for coming in. I hope you enjoyed the biscuits. It's been a very enjoyable hour.
Thank you very much for inviting
us. Good luck for the rest of the season.
Lovely, thank you very much.
And you have to keep us updated with your biscuit finds for the rest of the season.
Or if I get into another hobby.
No. right, I'll tantalise you with news of next week. We'll include a fantasy football update. Ball, you're in it, aren't you?
Oh yeah, I think I'm struggling.
I'm gonna have to do my team after this because I think it's a game. Is it a game tonight?
It's tomorrow lunchtime. Yeah. City Liverpool, isn't it?
Yeah. And we've got a new feature. I think you'll like, Paul, next week. We're gonna do it this week, but Dave's obviously ill. It's called Combi Corner.
You see, I still think we need more combi football recognition.
Combi Corner will hopefully go some way to readdressing that next week. It's Dave's new feature. I'm trying to work on a jingle for it. Maybe I'm thinking this. Maybe the, I don't know. If, remember Gentle Ben? The when you were younger.
The bear.
Yes,
I do.
Do you remember the theme music from that? Did it was sort of like a.
Let's say yeah.
Have a look on the YouTubes this afternoon. But if that's not under copyright, I'm thinking of nicking that for the.
I'm sure all the people that were in that will probably be dead now, so it won't.
But yeah, they're all corporations. I'll tell you one time when I nearly got sued by Pat O'Banton. That was there.
Comeback baby.
Well, he nearly did with the lawyer. That was the problem. Right, until next week. Ta-ta for now.